Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. Welcome to another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh. We're thankful that you decided to join us today. Going to jump right into it, man. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal pimping?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's good with you?
Trying to hold it in a row, man. Trying to hold it in a row. Keep from going out of my mind with all this craziness that's going on in the world.
World gone mad. Are you going to lose some money on the Super Bowl coming up?
We're going to make some picks on this program. This is a politics and sports episode. So we'll make some picks. But I am not comfortable we're placing any money on either one of these motherfuckers, man.
Okay, because I figured you lost some on the Green Bay Aaron Rodgers commentary you had on a prior show. So,
Why are you bringing up all the shit?
Hey, the shit is saved right there on YouTube. You can go back and play it.
Yeah, it's there, man. So, I'm not going to make any bold predictions just go around and none of that shit at all.
Alright,
you're happy. So but we are going to talk about some politics and some just some general I'm gonna be building people's vocabulary as we go along in this video thing, but we're going to talk about some fucked upness.
Some fucked upness.
Let me write that down. Fucked upness. Yes. Surrounding sense. The funny thing is, man, I think it took such a bad commander in chief to make me realize exactly how bad all these motherfuckers really are.
Yeah. Expose.
You know what I'm saying? It really made me look at the, these runoffs and a lot of this other stuff that had to take place, man. It really kind of made me look at the at politics and how dirty of a game it really is, and wow. And how little they actually really care about people's well-being, Mm-hmm. To that end, there is a relief package that is on the table from the Democratic camp, from Biden's camp. Mm. And I jotted down some details because let me tell people, this isn't a political show. The theme song at the end of the show on the audio portion even says occasional politics as it pertains to you. So we're not one that's going to spoon feed you information as it being law. We encourage people to actually do your research, find out the issues, find out the information that pertains to the issues that affect you personally. This ain't a spoon feeding shit. We talk around politics as it pertains to our plight as Black people in society, how it affects us as a whole. This ain't CNN, Fox News, Roland Martin, any of that other shit. Go do the research for yourself. We're going to talk around some shit. And if you think it's important, go look up the details. That's how you become informed. You might even become so enraged that you want to become even more informed.
There you go.
After that, and engage even harder into it. That's what the show is about. So,
nice disclaimer there, brother.
There you go. So let's talk about some highlights as I wrote them down. The fresh lights. Fresh lights. Before we do that though, let's revisit this Capitol shit, because there's a lot of things that are still some a lot of loose ends that kind of need to be tied up as far as these crazy ass white supremacist groups and shit, man. Have you seen some of the charges that they're bringing up on these people, man? I mean, they're getting basically just slaps on the wrist for...
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it before. I mean, it's like trespassing, violent entry, just like a minor breaking entry. Like, these are not felony type of charges.
Right.
They're misdemeanors, you know? And just, you know, everyone's been comparing that insurrection to the, you know, peaceful protests of the Black Lives Matter, that movement last summer. And I one stat I did see fresh was on the day of the, I think it was sometime in June, the day of that march at the Capitol with BLM and others, allies, there were 316 arrests, I believe. 316. I think I wrote it down.
From a BLM protest?
What'd you say?
From a Black Lives Matter protest?
Yes.
Okay.
316 arrests. There were 61 on early January at the with that with those crazy idiots stormed the Capitol. 61.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that now. It's probably around. It's think they got a 100 more people now.
Oh yeah, it's like 150 or so now. But yeah, I'm talking about like
To your point though, they got us right then and there.
That's what. Yeah,
you know. But, you know, I look at it as a situation where, again, I mean, the scales of justice are not, and I don't want to sound philosophical. I hate sounding like this, but it's just really, really what it is. The scales of justice are not balanced. They haven't been balanced. There is going to take a certain amount of reckoning. Almost in the same vein as these crazy idiots did at the Capitol. But I feel like that until there's something really, really, really explosive coming from our end, there people are never really going to hear us. And I'm not one to try to incite violence, but I do think that when you are being attacked, you are being, you know, systematically shut out of basically everything. I mean, you know, it's not 1964. Right. It's not 1955 or anything. I mean, so we're not there, you know? So, I mean, I have benefited from my grandmother opening the door some. I benefited from my mother opening the door some. It's hopefully my daughter, my sons will benefit from me opening the door a little bit more. I mean, I'm aware of that. But at the same time, when you really start to digest the things that have happened, we're not so far from 1964, Brian.
That's right.
We ain't really that far. And no. and I think that the methods that that have been employed up to this point have been reasonably effective because it the political engagement has skyrocketed. It's shown that, you know, when like minds can be galvanized for a movement, that things can happen. But man, they really need to break us off. It's time to cut the check, bro. That's the energy I'm on from here on out, bro. Cut the check.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is what you were saying about methods of getting things done. I think the problem nowadays is we're trying to use the same methods. There's a sign of the times, man. It's different yet is same to what you're saying. Right. Different in that when the whole march to vote, right? I mean, like the whole get out the right to vote had a different feel in 55,
right?
Because it wasn't on the books,
right? Right?
I mean, they were literally shunned physically in your face, very overt. So,
right.
In the early 60s and in 50s and, you know, even prior, of course, they didn't have the right. So marching meant something a lot more, mm-hmm. you know, in their unity. It was different for that time. Now,
you literally had nothing because you literally had nothing right. and every and everything to gain
yes.
In the eyes of the multitudes, that vote signified actual power. That was something that they had none of.
Right.
So, you know, that was, I think that's why it was a little bit different. The energy was a little bit different. But yeah. see, the problem is, you know, complacency, is a result of some of the white supremacy tactics that are out there. You know, they throw you a bone. They let somebody be successful. They let somebody have this. They let somebody have that. You know, and and it's not to say that people don't work hard and they don't go after the things that they want, but the mindset of some Black folks that the acceptance of that particular group of people has, you know, the fact that that has so much meaning and so much status in their minds and in their hearts keeps everybody at a certain place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not something that's rare. It's not something that is just you can spot pick. You know, it's widespread amongst us, and that's a cancer. That's a sickness. It's a psychological trauma that has been passed down from generation to generation. And we're way, way off topic right now, but at the same time, we're on topic. But
always on topic with that, man.
Yeah, for real.
Always on topic.
Always on topic. But I mean, we really need to get out of that sickness, man. It's like, so we got to start building more tables instead of trying to grab a seat. You know, I'm all for, and the funny thing is you really have to, as a world that is much in a world, living in a world that's much more integrated now, you have to be mindful. Because I want to address something. I'm gonna address something after I say this statement. You have to be mindful of being inclusive while you're trying to be exclusive. You know, because we make this show to pro-Black podcast, but we're not just on here just saying, you know, white people ain't shit all day. You know, there's a way to handle things. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that we still need to be able to navigate that, which brings me to this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
I got and I'd forgotten that the email was still active. I got an email, and I don't know if they were Black or white, because I didn't respond. But evidently, I made a comment on another show about how I'm not going to turn my Blackness down.
Oh yeah,
they went on this diatribe about, you got to know how to do this. Da, 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 da. I mean, obviously not knowing me at all.
Yeah.
But they just said, you got to do it. You can't be this. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. But I mean, but you don't know me outside of what you see on the show. So it's kind of like.
Yeah. So were they trying to school you on code switching? Like, exactly. You can't be like this in the world.
Okay. And I'm just like, bruh, I mean, you look up code switching in the dictionary, it might have my picture.
I might be on page 2.
You might be, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean, I just want to address that too for people that may be watching. It's like, when I say I'm not going to turn my Blackness down, what I mean is, because for me, I mean, naturally, I'm not a person that's just going out and showing my ass anyway. That's just not my stilo. But when I say I'm not going to turn my Blackness down, what I mean wholeheartedly is the fact that I'm never going to stop caring about the issues that affect me and my community. In any situation, you know, I'm not going to tuck those injustices or those slights or those, you know, those racial epitaphs or any of that negative energy that comes at me. I'm not going to ignore that for the sake of getting a butter biscuit. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not going somewhere, you know, like I said, showing my ass, because I mean, I'm
unapologetic. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not how I operate. But at the same time, I'm never going to turn a blind eye to shit that affects us just so I can get somebody's money or appease somebody or things like, because I can
sleep somebody's favor. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't roll like that, man. And people who have met me and people who have grown to understand me know that I'm a very amicable person when it comes to, you know, considering anybody's feelings that meet me on the same level of respect. You know, no matter where you're from, whether you're white, Black, or Asian, or whatever the case may be, Everybody who has come in contact with me will tell you that I'm, you know, you get exactly what you give. So if you come to me with that bullshit, I got bullshit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got a backpack full of bullshit that I'm gonna deliver. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if you're on the level with me, then I mean, it's always gonna be that way coming back for me. So it's like, I mean, I associate with people.
That's how it should be.
That's what I'm saying. And I associate with people of all different backgrounds, man. I mean, that's some of the things that have made me successful, you know, in corporate America and outside of corporate America is like I said, meeting people where they are. You know, you don't judge people based on what you think. Because, you know, there's a saying out there that says, or notion that, you know, people say, oh, people ask you what you do and things of that nature to figure out how much respect they want to give you. But see, I don't do people like that. I mean, if I'm interested to know what you do, I'm just interested. But I'm going to respect you the same, you know, as long as you respect me. So,
no doubt.
But anyway, man, like I said, we kind of got moved along. But back to the capital cases, man. It's one of those things. I'm gonna quote Snoop Dogg, man. I think it was on
Murder. Niggas ain't shit.
No, I think it was on Murder Was the Case. No, it wasn't Murder as a Kid. No, it was actually on The Chronic. Okay. I think it was Little Ghetto Boy. I'm not really sure what track it was, but he if that was us at the Capitol, it would have been 25 with an Izzel with Nowhere to Gizzle.
Yeah.
That's what it would have been. Yeah. 25 to life. We would have been off to the paddy wagon. You know,
yeah,
drove us. You know, we'd have been out in Kansas somewhere, locked up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, felony charges, and so, I mean this shit is bullshit, bro. This is bullshit. And even with the, I know we want to talk about the, and we're just bouncing all over this, man. But we talked about the impeachment thing, man. I think that the fact that people are not wanting to, the Republicans, like they can. It boggles my mind. It's like you guys are going to basically bend the country over and fuck them with no lube for 4 years.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you won't be like, we was just bullshitting. No, we sorry. No. We all want to be together. You know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the impeachment. My thing with impeachment is, with all this is punishment. So if you did some,
gotta hold this motherfucker accountable, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I don't care if he's out of office now. You follow that shit through, and if you did some wrong shit, you pay for it. You pay the price. I mean, that's what's wrong today, right? That's what's wrong with society is folk will get away. You know, folk with money get away with shit,
right?
And I say carry it through. Now, even though I think Biden has verbally said that he supports it, I don't think he really wants to go through with it because sort of coming into his spot right now, he campaigned on like, hey, I'm shaking hands across, like I'm the bipartisan president, you know, per se.
Which pisses me off.
I don't think he wants to. I think he's going to make it more of a political thing, like, nah, let's not do it. But I think he had to probably say, because I think I heard him say on something where he would support it or he wouldn't block it. I don't think so.
Man, I need this motherfucker to be real presidential, because if it's one thing that I learned from these Republicans, and I think we've maybe mentioned this, these motherfuckers don't give a fuck,
dude.
They don't care. They be like, this is what we want to get done. We got the hammer.
Yeah.
Swinging it. And I'm just saying, man, I need Democrats to be like, this what the fuck are you trying to do? And this is either you can roll or you can get rolled over.
And I think that's been a lot of a backlash from Dems that say about their own party, like, damn, we don't hit them in the mouth.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, we slap them when we need to punch them, you know, type of thing. So.
You know, and we kick,
you know, I think if they're gonna carry it through, but adversely, man, when you think about impeachment, if you want to go back and just be fair across of it, I mean, across the board, you got You can go after Bush for his weapons of mass destruction. That turned out to be an impeachable event. Hillary Clinton, her email fraud. This goes across presidents. You can hit government officials on both sides.
You know what, though? I'm going to say this. I'd give W a pass, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't think he was smart enough. I think he got bad information. I think he really got bad information and didn't really know how to make the decision and left the decisions up to the people that were around him. And the reason why I say this is because I still remember when 9/11 happened, his reaction. When they told him that planes went into the towers and he just kind of sat there, kind of looking around like, what should I do? You believed at that time
that that's when he really knew?
That's a whole nother show. But what I'm saying is, at that particular time, he was not ready to jump into action and be a leader. So that's what made me think that there were some puppet strings behind him. You see what I'm saying? So, you could do it, but I'm just saying it's almost like, you know.
But that's what they wanted you to see. They wanted you to see his so-called innocence.
Yeah, but this dude ain't smart enough.
Ignorance to it, but that's not smart. That's the public view.
What I'm saying, though, is I think there are other people that could be held accountable for. What I'm saying is that being the president, obviously the buck stops with you. I don't think the origination of the plan started at the top is what I'm saying. I don't think he said, let's do this. I think they fed him. I think some interest needed to be served. So they were like, fuck it, how can we get paid?
That's what the deep state is. It's beyond, and that's my whole political philosophy about the presidency. You heard me say it before. Is it's beyond the president. If we think that the president truly makes these type of decisions, no, he's guided by others. Everyone has an advisor, right? Whether it's domestic, right beside you, or within your cabinet, or international. So, I mean, this thing goes way beyond it. 9/11 was something that was, he was probably third or fourth down in the pecking order to get information. I mean, of course, I don't know, this is slight conjecture here, but still, it's well beyond the presidency. I wouldn't say that's when he found out. This thing has been orchestrated, in my opinion, for some time. But I could be wrong.
Well, like I said, I mean that we're not going to dip into that. But anyway, man, the point on the capital cases was to the disparaging differences in the way these fools are being treated, based on, and people say, oh, double standard. Yeah, here we go, double standard again.
Yeah.
Now, the fact of the matter is when you want to hold people accountable, you need to hold them accountable. You just start high and let them plead down. Y'all starting low. They're going to fucking plead out and be free. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that, you should be trying to hang cases on these motherfuckers that are well beyond trespassing.
Yeah. You go to the Capitol
and you beat people up. And that's just trespassing?
You know what it falls under, Fresh? It falls under treason. If you look up the definition of treason, constitutionally speaking, and treason is just war against your country, right? And it is automatic sentence, I think, starting at 5 years, and it could be punishable by death. So treason is big. And, as I was reading something about treason, I said, you know what? That was treason with the act itself against the Capitol building, against those offices and those people who even work there as a part of the Capitol, which represents the symbolism of America. So you in war, that's insurrection falls in that too as a definition. But yeah. Anyway.
If it's not treason, it's definitely treasonous.
Right. And so here's a fun fact for you. I could be wrong on this, but I think none of the Confederate soldiers in the Civil War were charged with treason. And that's what the Confederacy was. The Confederacy was a breakaway. We break away from the Union. We ain't giving up our, you know, our lifestyle and this institution of slavery. No, I mean, that was the whole thing. It was against the United States. You know what I'm saying? So that in itself was the definition of treason. But I don't think that not one soldier, dead or alive, because at that time you can be charged, you can still go be in your grave and charged with something, was charged with treason. And so to me, it's like a carry on, you know, like I said before, it's that's the system. That's they boys, right? They on the same team.
And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on for that. And that's kind of what my point was. Or for this particular subject, and like I said, we've splintered in several different directions on this. But my main point of bringing that up was to say that it doesn't matter who is at the top of the administration, that the disparaging differences, you know, the glaring differences in treatment are going to be the same, because this is something that's federal. This isn't. These are federal charges. You see what I'm saying? This right. isn't your state municipality with you know, in West Virginia with Billy Bob and Joe, you know, making the rules. These are federal cases, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that anybody within that executive chain of command could have some say and be like, hey, look, we really need to do this. You know, if you're in control of the Department of Justice, or you know, you have colleagues there, you're not in control of it, because that's one thing that Trump. That's one thing that Trump really should have gotten in trouble for, was trying to use the DOJ to do his bidding. But what I'm saying is that there should at least be some type of inquiry to say, we need to be sure that these people are punished to the fullest extent of the law and aim high.
Right.
Yeah. Don't aim low, aim high.
To the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I mean, so, you know, but anyway, man, moving on from that, because I'll start cussing for real. But, back to the Biden relief package, man. I mean, there's a couple of things in here. I'm just rolling through it real quick. And again,
yeah,
for the people that are looking and listening, listen to what I said at the beginning so you will understand that I'm not spoon feeding your information. Go find the shit out for yourself. Stimulus checks, $1,400. Unemployment supplement, $400. Money for schools to reopen to help the colleges that have been affected by in-person learning to help them maintain their shift to distance learning. Minimum wage go up to $15. A vaccination program, meaning a federally funded and backed vaccination program, you know, giving full support to state and local governments to be sure that they have enough money to get the resources to get vaccines in people's arms. Money for small businesses, whatever the fuck that means, because we seen with the last load of money, it's a lot of motherfuckers that got money that shouldn't have got money.
Yeah.
Expand paid leave. A lot of motherfuckers ain't got no job. How you doing paid leave? But anyway, increase the size of tax credits for the child care tax credit. Nothing for black folks at all. Nothing. Now, and the reason why we say this, or the reason why I say this, is because it's been widely reported and documented that at this particular point, even though it's not the case based on the statistics in North Carolina, it's still, COVID has still affected more old white people than anybody else in the state of North Carolina. That's facts. Access to care is the issue. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
it's been well documented that because of the disparities in the socioeconomic statuses of the black community and other communities, you know, just like I said, when white America catches a cold, black America catches the flu. In this case, it's COVID. It's already been reported that we're more affected by this because of those existing circumstances. Yet there's nothing here for us specifically. I'm at this particular point, I'm kind of getting tired of the politic game in regards to, like I said, the shit I'm on now is cut the check. And I ain't talking about the stimulus check. You know, there needs to be and I don't even know if you can call it reparations or whatever you want to call it, but there needs to be something that we get specifically for the lack of support that we have been given in return for what we have given. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, the and this is really, 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 really pertinent, especially coming into Black History Month and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of folks think that Black history starts at slavery, and we're going to have a show on Black history and we'll talk about that. But, you know, for us not to get it pisses me off. I'm having trouble putting my thoughts in here because I just don't want to come off. I just don't want to flame up shit. But for us not to get the things that we need to get in terms of a lump sum payment for the generational atrocities that have taken place on this land, we won't even talk about the Middle Passage. Okay, we'll just leave that where that is. Yeah. The atrocities on this land for the centuries that we've been here, and we ain't got jack shit. We've had to claw and fight tooth and nail, riot
on every war.
That's what I'm saying. Shed blood every fucking century. Mm-hmm. It does nothing specifically. And this is why people were really, really for this than no other reason. This is the reason why people didn't want to fuck with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. This is the reason why. And I voted for him. Don't get it twisted. I voted because Trump had to go. Motherfucker had to go. But this is the reason why people didn't want to fuck with them. And you see Chucks and Pearls every fucking where. Who's saying cut the check? Ain't none of these. And this one, remember we talked about the complacency? The complacency, be like, oh, here's something for you. Here's something for you. Here's something for you. Here go that butter biscuit.
Yeah.
Shut motherfuckers up, bro.
Yeah.
They wear Chucks and Pearls all goddamn day, bro. Ain't nobody saying cut the check.
Symbolism. And it's actually a hell of a lot of us who are saying cut the check. It's not mainstream. See?
Right. You are exactly right. And that's the point. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Because I don't want to discount the grassroots movements that you and I both know about that are taking place. There's plenty of motherfuckers hollering and screaming about doing a lot of shit, you know, from defunding the police to getting reparations. There's plenty of groups out there. But what I'm saying is from a mainstream media level, that's what I'm talking about. We love to grandstand. We'll grandstand and change our
symbolism
picture. You know what I'm saying? You know, we'll change our profile picture and cut the motherfucking check.
Black people are very comfortable at that level, thinking that we made it, thinking that because something socially we have progressed. But when we look at our bank accounts, you know, when we look at conditions, when we look at the inequities.
Social shit, though, brother. And that's the funny thing about it is that social media has permeated our lives to a degree to where that's all that we think about is the image, the snapshot, the selfie. Yeah. You know, and you know, they you know, we think about the selfie, but we don't look at the bigger picture. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit that we own, and that's why we losing, bro. That's why we lose.
Yeah. That's the whole B1 mentality.
Right.
You can have love for everyone or whatever, right? But if you don't love yourself, your people first, history is just going to continue to take its course. Right.
We'll be having the same conversation again, which we probably will. But any of those things, man, that you wanted to address or anything like that, man. I mean, because it's
No, I think it's pretty much expected. The things that you said, I will add to that. There recently was some protections that he signed for Asians to protect them, physically protect them from law enforcement, which I find very, what's that?
I said, ain't that a bitch?
Right. And I mean, anyone can look this up, but it's really a slap in the face when you clearly see who's being harmed and oppressed day in, day out. Across you know, different communities and cities, but to have this is more the reason why we should be. I mean, you had a good summary, a few minutes ago that I just I think pretty much says what I want to say. But I'm just behooved that people can't, if you consider yourself to be black in this country or whatever. Melanated, African descent, whatever, African American, Black American, you should have some type of thirst in you. It should be a fire within you to go against, to see where you've been had. You know what I'm saying? As a group. And so, collectively, and that's the whole thing there too, Fresh, is we made it so. It's just me over here. This is my situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to reach back and help. It's that pay it forward thing, man. And
right.
You got to pay it forward across the board. I mean, that's what you mentioned earlier. You wouldn't be where you are. Your grandmother opened a door. Your mother opened a door. People got to open doors. And as we open doors to our children and others, mm-hmm. we got to hopefully one day our children hopefully open an economic door. Too, right?
As sad as it is,
graduate from high school, here's a house.
Right.
That type of just mentality of I'm providing some things that may have some equitable worth in the future.
They are not alive. And yes. As sad as it is, man, I mean, we're to a point where it takes some other people to still give us opportunity as well. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
it
does.
It takes people that are not morally bankrupt, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, it takes, because we don't own too much. So it's one of those things where we still have to rely upon other communities to be able to lend us money, to provide us a network in some instances, to, produce, manufacture, sustain things, to sell us things to where we can turn around and resell in terms of business, as far as, raw materials and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So there's so many levels that we haven't penetrated yet that still makes, and that situation still makes us dependent on other communities to be able to get our foot into a door, to push that door open even a little bit further. Mm-hmm. The reason why we haven't, one of the reasons why we haven't gone even further is because there's still, and being, in the business that I'm in right now, dude, I had a conversation with dude the other day, man. I was just like this, I really had to bite my tongue, bro, because it's like, when you,
what happened?
It was just the tone, man. It was the tone of the conversation. Not looking at the brand that we have as an established brand, not even really acknowledging, mm-hmm. accomplishments that we have done on our own without any questioning. It was almost just like questioning the validity of what we're saying. You see what I'm saying? And it really just hit me the wrong, way, man. It hit my business partner was on the call too, and we were just like, you feel the same way I felt? And I was just like, yeah, it didn't, I'm real sensitive to shit like that, man, because I know that when they speak to their other counterparts that they don't come at them like that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it was like his boss had already okayed the deal that we're focusing on. It's like he was already interested in the deal. And I'm like, you the low man on the totem pole. Trying to flex. Right. bruh.
It's gonna hurt. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really hurt, but it was just kind of like, you know, it was one of those things like, do I just come across and do I destroy this dude, or do I just kind of let it ride? And what I'm finding is that I sleep a lot better and my thoughts are a lot more clear when it comes to the next move when I just let the shit go.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because, you know,
you're in control.
Right. But the younger me would be ready to choke a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the older me is just like, man, I got to be on to the next because of the confidence that I have in the business that we're doing. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like your loss, you know, and kind of move on from there. But again, like, so once we start becoming those pillars in which our community can rely on, we still are going to have to rely on some good people in other, you know, in other communities that, you know, to be able to have one hand wash the other. And that may be 3-4 generations down the line before we even really get to that particular
point.
But we are making strides, man. It's disappointing. But we are making strides, man. Definitely making strides. The stimulus, man, $1,400.
Okay.
You know, the 600 was like
600. Well, I'll let you say what you're gonna say.
I mean, my car payment more than $600, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's a slap in the face, man. It's a slap in the face.
You know, the way I look at it is this, man. It's one of those things where I can't, my disgust really can't even be, it's probably written all over my face, but my disgust really can't be expressed, man, because it's number one, is all this is a total failure of the previous administration. The fact that whether it's 1400 for, you know, what Biden wants to do, whether it's 1400, you know, the 600, whatever the case, I mean, okay, whatever. The fact that y'all won't shoot for the moon when it comes to the people that are your constituents boggles my mind. That is just it's the biggest sign. They might as well be holding a sign saying, we don't give a fuck about you.
Well, yeah.
That's
called an American flag. So you should see it, and that's probably what it should symbolize. But is there a number that you think is suitable from a
I'm gonna tell you something, man. I'm gonna tell you something. I was listening to and I don't remember what show he was on. God, I can't remember what show he was on, but you remember Andrew Yang, the guy that ran for president?
He was
saying that there was enough money within these bills that they were talking about for Americans to get. I think he said they could get $2,000 a month for like 2 years or something like that. I don't quote me on that, but I had to go back and find out what he was talking about. But the way he had it broken down, he was like, man, we got the money to be able to pay people. I think he said either $1,000 or $2,000 a month for 2 years or something like that. And I'm just thinking like,
yeah,
that's a stimulus for your ass right there.
I mean, if you take some of them billions from Israel, and, you know, military, cut down on some military, the trillions in military, right. I mean, it's simple.
It's there.
It didn't take a PhD in economics to figure some of that stuff out. That's how you can really help. I do believe in gearing towards helping those who need the most help first. Like if you stagger pays or whatever, if someone who's unemployed or, you know, in situations where they've received unemployment over so long or needs more than someone who's working, right? So, I mean, it's different tiers. Someone with 4 kids and none, they should have, you know what I'm saying? So, it's definitely take care of those, help those that need the most constructive help.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I feel you. But again, man, like I said, I think it's some bullshit, man. The unemployment supplement of $400, you know what really gets me about that is the Republicans' response to that anything over a dollar is going to incentivize people not to go back to work. But anybody that has any kind of sense would say, okay, yeah, this extra $400 is temporary. I got to go get something permanent.
Right.
So the average person is going to be like, man, I'd rather have something than rely on somebody else to give me something else. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And that just shows you how disconnected they are from everyday people. Yeah, people like that extra money. You know what I'm saying? It helps. It helps keep you. I mean, people are so far behind on shit right now, bro. I mean, that $400 can keep the lights on, keep food on the table, you know. It could do a lot of different things. So yeah, people like that. They need that. But to think that it's incentivizing somebody not to work for 11 weeks.
Right. Well, you know.
I mean, it take more. I mean, depending on the job market, man, it take you more than 11 weeks to apply and get an interview at this particular point during the economy. Trust me, I know. This particular point. So, you know, that shit just kind of, you know, they're talking about money for schools to reopen. You know, and I guess they're talking about, you know, supplementing with, you know, safety measures and things of that nature to make kids come back to school. And to help colleges. Colleges is like a fucking witch's brew full of COVID. So, you know, they're going to help them maintain the shift to distance learning until it's safe. Minimum wage of $15, man, this shit should have been done 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was on debt 10, 12 years ago. Anyway,
I'm thinking like, man, if I had to make $7 an hour somewhere, $7.25 or whatever it is right now, and work 40 hours. That shit is crazy, bro.
It's insane. In 15, technically, I think Yang even said something about if you move the wage up to like $22, the difference in $22 an hour and 15 would bring the poverty, like, you know, he had all kinds of graphs, whatever, but he was saying just $7 there, even $7 more would bring the poverty level up so much percent or whatever. So,
right.
It's hard to swallow when you live in the most powerful, you know, richest country on the planet, the biggest military on the planet, which we spend a tremendous amount of money on. And you have people who can't, you know, you can't really take care of the people who live here. It's just, right. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing as, you know, fucking human being. It's embarrassing. You know what I'm saying?
It really is.
That's why people hate capitalism. Those who are socialists, if you will, or just have an anti-capitalist mindset, because they look at the United States. Even those here are like, the fuck I live in, you know? Right. But if you don't live here, you're looking at USA like, yeah, I want to go there for opportunity, but damn.
We some gangster motherfuckers, bro.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, this is the thing. Now, feel me on this shit. The funny thing about when you compare us to other countries that may be considered less developed, if you will.
Yeah.
Or even third world, you know, I mean, you know, they have, there's a certain degree of lawlessness in some of those places. And there's some safety issues, if you will, that come with that lawlessness. I mean, you know, that's not structured. We get freedoms, we get liberties, we get protections on paper that other countries don't even think about giving their citizens. That's why people want to come. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you know, in America, we starve our people to death. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we buy more guns, build more planes, build more tanks, whatever the fuck we're buying for the military. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We trick off dough like a sugar daddy to Israel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the homelessness, unemployment rate, everything is fucking skyrocketing. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not even really different. It's just the methodology that's different. Mm-hmm. You know, you do something in one country, they may hang you, they may beat you, they may execute you on site. Mm-hmm. Have a phony trial, firing squad, you're dead. Here, we just pay you $7.25 an hour and let you starve to death over a generation. We'll kill you and your kids. We'll kill you and your kids at the same time.
Yeah.
If the poverty and the hunger doesn't get you, the motherfucking crime from the black market that all that shit creates is going to get you. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And you know, they really flipped it up in the 80s. They were like, well, we throw this crack in there. You know what I'm saying? We throw this crack over there to y'all. Most addictive substance out there. Let y'all get hooked on that shit. So you do anything and everything to have that and destroy your own community.
Yeah. And then vilify you later with some bills that Biden authored, by the way. And you know, Clinton carried through. Brothers locked up. And we had an episode before, not to go off on a tangent, but we had an episode about marijuana one time. And I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, there are people making millions of dollars selling the same weed that your cousin or somebody you know, many of us know, this locked up, been locked up from the same shit. Mm-hmm. That is in your face and saying, and what the hell are you going to do about it? Nothing.
No.
Come on, get this capitalism.
Right.
We're gonna write the narrative. We're going to lock you up in over here. We're going to sell it publicly over here. And those states are growing, too, in number as far as legalization. It's crazy, man.
So, man, I almost want to call this episode America Ain't Shit, but, you know, I ain't really that far gone. yet, man. I'll figure out the title for this one, man. Maybe cut the check. Cut the check is going to be this episode.
America the Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. America the Beautiful. With slash cut the check.
Yes. Cut the check.
Yeah. Cut the check, man. But yeah, man, the increase in the size of the tax credit for the child care tax credit. I mean, that's, if you got kids, that helps you. You know what I'm saying? A lot of families, you know, to have a lot of kids. So that's a benefit to a certain section of people, you know what I'm saying? But poverty doesn't necessarily, the only thing that separates one group of people from one level to the next is fucking money. You know, there's rich people with big families, there's poor people with big families. There's rich single people, there's poor single people. Money is the common denominator there. So, you know, it's only going to really affect certain people. If I had to put a grade on this shit, man, I would give it a really, 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 really strong C-.
Okay.
I'd give, the only reason why I'm not giving it a D or F is because it actually will put some money in some people's hands, and it will address expediting some of the processes as far as the vaccination and shit for people that want to get that shit done. I mean. You know, there's potential there. I think the spirit of all of this shit sucks ass. You know, I feel like that until because the one thing that Biden has said from a political standpoint over and over and over and over and over again that sticks out in my mind. It says, we have to address the disparities in the criminal justice system that adversely affect black and brown people. That's his go-to line. You know, it's on everything. We have to address the disparities in the criminal justice system. We have to address the disparities in the criminal justice system. We have to address the disparities in the criminal justice. That's his whole thing. That's the one thing that he says all the time. Mm-hmm. But you say that, but you don't, number one, go down the list of people who have been convicted of nonviolent drug crimes and commute those sentences. Let those people, give those people an opportunity to start over. Now, my whole thing, if you're a violent criminal, I need to keep your ass in jail. I need you to stay where you at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need you, you good.
Yeah, if you deserve the shit, you deserve it.
Yeah, you good. But if we're talking about anything from that quote unquote war on drugs, you know, stemming from a lot of that crime bill shit. And if you really about that life, you need to go fix that shit that you fucked up. You know, and that shit is, that is a stroke of a pen as a president. That shit, ask Trump. Trump is like, who did the pardon? Okay. It's a stroke of a pen, bro. That's why this shit is disingenuous to me, because the things that you can do, the really low hanging fruit, the shit that's really, really low, the shit that you can really get to, you don't even touch. Now, I do understand that we're in the middle of a pandemic, trying to make people safe, trying to get our lives back to normal. I get that. But to me, if you want to address the address the disparities in the criminal justice system for Black and Brown people, you go to where the people have actually been victimized. Right that wrong first. Use common sense and say, you know what? You doing 12 for a bag of weed for some conspiracy to sell some crack? You doing life? You done served 20? You out. It's not even on your record anymore. Just go. You see what I'm saying? Those are the things that you can really address. Those, like I said, that's easy money. That's easy money. Maybe the timing's not right. I mean, I get it. I'll give him. Maybe the timing's not right. But you can't pop that shit. You can't pop that kind of shit and not understand how you can really have that, you know, an effect. How you can really have it done. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, man, they know. I mean, if you commit a crime, you know what you're committing. If you're the one that's you know, you holding the bag,
right?
I mean, you got the resources, you got the power to make a change. Just do it. Just do the right thing.
Right.
That's with anybody. Just do the right thing. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in thinking that certain people don't know. And that's why we spend a lot of time trying to explain racism to white people. How many times you gonna have conversations on these shows and things? I'm tired of let's talk about it. When it's time to cut a check or write a check or whatever. No, let's talk about it. Let's have a committee. Just like the whole the only reparations movement. Last year, what's her name? The representative Jackson, I forget, Sheila Jackson Lee, I believe. It forming a committee to, and I have the word
committee to look at the yeah. possibility of actually yeah. exploring the possibility yeah. of exploring the possibility.
Right. checking the check sheet, right? Right. And we will have that. Your great grandchildren will probably be in the same, unfortunately, the same position. Where we're waiting on things that happen for us. And that's the whole power thing. How do we really assume power? First, it has to be in our mind to say the things that you said to make it stay on people's necks. You stay on folk's neck and you unapologetically do so. People will respect you. You think about King, people who have died, it's easy for them to sort of put them in a highlight. King, oh, he had a dream. He was nonviolent and things, but they killed King, right? They killed him, right? Malcolm, you know, well, they didn't like Malcolm then, but still, once you're dead, oh, he was this. We had the show about, we talked about Hank Aaron. Mm-hmm. Them crackers didn't like Hank Aaron. He just broke Babe Ruth's record.
Right.
He couldn't stand it. It was something that was, that I heard.
Bill Russell either. Hank, Bill Russell's one of the greatest winners ever. They hated him.
Hank Aaron received the most hate letters of, I think he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the athlete with the most hate letters or something that were mailed in or something. But hey, Hank, he was about this and he did this in the community, which he did. But, you know, in after death, it's easy to herald people. Mm. But when they live in, so I'm saying that to say, as we're living, let's keep the energy of things and not be frayed by any opposition. You just live in your truth, and if your truth is Black first, if your truth is Black empowerment, live in that, and you just deal with it the best you can. But
right.
Once you fray, it's that house nigga versus field negro. Mm. where are you? You're in the house, and you're in the field, grassroots, trying to make things happen, at least mentally so.
Right. And shout out to all the people, man, that are out there in these grassroots organizations, man, really, really pressing the issue, man. There's a lot of courageous people out there, a lot of young people out there, really.
Yeah.
Really shaking a lot of motherfucking trees, shaking some fruit off them motherfuckers, man. I mean, they're really out there showing a lot of courage. I think that the advent of social media and the channels in which we communicate and the way that we absorb information and process information, the way the information is delivered to us,
yeah,
is a very ripe field for activism. The funny thing is, you know, talking about activism and how useful of a tool social media is for activism. It's the same tools that created all these white supremacist groups that showed up at the motherfucking Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. that wasn't a motherfucking smoke signal. That wasn't a letter that got sent around. That shit was social media message board communication. So, you know, mm-hmm. those movements can be galvanized and can be generated, you know, on social media. It's easier to reach people. And, you know, I encourage people that, you know, whatever your interests are, in regards to social justice, whether, you know, or, you know, whatever the case may be, man, if you're an ally, if you want to, you know, be involved, if you're, you know, young black person, old black person, whatever the case may be, there's a method for you to get the information for you to act upon and to actually, immerse yourself into the social justice movement, man. Everybody does the things a different way, you know, find your lane and kind of do that shit, man. This is one of our lanes. This is what we do. So,
yeah.
Try to find your lane and contribute something that's going to try to push us forward. Man, real quick, let's talk about, we'll talk about this sports shit real quick, man. Super Bowl coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wrong about the, you know, Green Bay, Tampa Bay thing. Everybody knows that if you've been listening to this show for any period of time whatsoever, you know that we always circle back stuff to whether, you know, how it affects black mm-hmm. culturally, systematically, professionally, you know,
mm-hmm.
capitalistically, whatever the fuck you want to say. It's all about how we fit in as a piece of this puzzle, you know, as black people, black men and women. We even approach sports that way as well. So, and looking at the sports thing, man, I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. Is it Todd Bowles?
Yeah.
Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator. He used to be the coach of the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So two black coordinators there. Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about him too in a second, but, you know, have a black offensive coordinator there. So the support system for these teams that these teams are standing on as a unit are headed by, you know, leaders of men, you know, black men that know how to lead men, high paid men that have really. And this is what people don't really understand. I want people to feel me on this. From a coaching perspective, you have to have a level of respect for the person that's coaching you. When you're a high paid athlete, if you're a quarterback and you're making, like Patrick Mahomes even though he's not making that money this year, got like a $400-something million, almost $500 million contract. He has absolutely no motivation whatsoever to listen to anybody else other than the fucking owner whose name is at the bottom of his check.
Right.
Okay. That's the position. And most athletes understand this, but when you submit your talents to the coaching staff for an organizational philosophy, even though you have millions of dollars in your pocket, the person that convinces you to do that, that you trust enough to do that, deserves a lot of credit. Eric Bieniemy is one of those people. Now, my prediction, real quick, before I move to Eric Bieniemy, I'm going to let you make your prediction. Going to be Chiefs, and it's going to be probably a high-scoring game. I'd say 35-31 Chiefs. All right, we're going to play this back. after the game. 35-31 Chiefs. Your prediction.
I got Brady riding off in the sunset on a horse. And so I got Tampa Bay maybe 31-24 Tampa Bay.
I will say this one, if Brady wins, he's not retiring. That dude's not retiring.
You don't think so? I think he's taking the jersey off, man.
I doubt it very soon.
I think Tampa's on a roll. They have the momentum. They have the talent.
His offensive line's too good. If he had taken a ton of hits this year, I think he'd be like, hey, look, if you don't fix this shit, I got to go. But the offensive line is really good. As long as he can stay upright, he'll play till he's at least 45. But back to the Eric Bieniemy thing, man. I thought this past few days, man, I thought he was really graceful and classy in the way that he's been handling the questions regarding him not getting a job. You know, because he said, I never asked to be the poster boy for this. You know, I'm just trying to do my thing, whatever, whatever. Of course, I'd like a head coaching job. Maybe it's not a fit. I thought that was real classy, especially after the Houston Texans, who is, if you watched in the Washington Redskins or Washington football team, as far as culture goes, you're a pretty sorry, sucky ass organization. But especially after they tried to circle back to him after they didn't want to interview him the first time. And then they turned around and hired this old dude that's never even been a coordinator. You know, but the fact of the matter is that people don't remember. I remember, but Eric Bieniemy, I think, was a damn finalist for the Heisman 1 year out of Colorado. Don't quote me on that. I'm gonna look it up. But if I'm not mistaken, I really think that Eric Bieniemy was a Heisman finalist 1 year at Colorado.
Okay,
he was a hell of a football player, and has paid his dues. Mm-hmm. In coaching, I mean, dues paid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, dues got the receipts. The opportunity is the bare minimum for this guy. You know what I'm saying? I really want to look him up
That's what I'm trying to do.
That's what you're trying to do too.
Yeah.
I want to say that he was a Heisman finalist one time, man. Because I know he went to Colorado.
Right. Yeah, Heisman Trophy finalist in 1990.
See, I told you, bro, because I think that was the year that
they won the championship.
I think David Klingler may have won the Heisman that year.
I don't remember.
I can't remember, but I mean, you know, I'm old as fuck, so. But that's how I'm, because I remember he was Eric Bieniemy was the first dude that I saw that was on the college level that really, well, no, I won't say the first, but one of the only guys that I saw not avoid contact. You know, he was short, stocky, powerful, but you know, he was kind of like Earl Campbell. I mean, he was really big.
5'7", 207.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really big, really good, man.
So, and the fact of the matter, you look at his resume: running backs coach, running back coach, assistant head coach, offense coordinator, running backs coach, man. Offense coordinator. I mean, you know, he's paid dues over the
20 years,
and he's a Super Bowl champion. The opportunity is the minimum. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying give him a 10-year contract. I'm saying the opportunity on par with some of these incompetent ass white coaches that they've been hiring. The opportunity, the 4 to 5 year deal at 4, 5, 6 million a year, whatever the going rate is for the incompetence. They're paying for the incompetence. Pay for the dude that's got the ring. You see what I'm saying? The opportunity is the minimum. That's the minimum.
Yeah.
He comes in the door, you should have $25 million waiting on him. If he's five at 5 years or $5 million, $25 million check. Do what you can. Because that's what you're giving these, that's what you're giving the screaming ass crazy head coach in Detroit that want to bite some people in the kneecaps. That's what you're giving the dude in Philadelphia that don't even, ain't even put on a suit yet, don't even know how to have a press conference as a professional.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're
supposed to be CEO of an organization, because that's what the head coach is.
Yeah, I saw his
standpoint. Looks like he's coaching a high school team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, man. And that, I mean, the opportunity is the minimum. That's the minimum at this particular point. You got any thoughts on that, man, before we wrap it up?
Nah, man, that's a nice summary. I mean, we know this. We know this.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why people protest a lot of, you know, sports and, you know, professional sports for stuff like this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a good summary. But,
right, so we'll see how the thing goes on Sunday, man. We'll see what this particular episode will probably be out on the 4th or the 5th.
Okay.
So Super Bowl Sunday's what, the 7th?
Yeah, on Sunday.
Something
yeah.
like that. So this will be out the 4th or the 5th. So it'll live there for a minute. I said Chiefs 35-31. So we're going to see what it is. All right, man. Well, we want to let people know that in addition to Apple Podcasts, we still are available on Google Play, SoundCloud. Well, no, not SoundCloud anymore. Take that down. We get a lot of listeners there. Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, all of the places that you would normally get your podcasts, you know, we're still there. We will have the links to everything coming back to the YouTube channel. It seems that people are absorbing, man. We get a lot of views, man, for the short period of time that we've actually been out there.
Right.
Yeah, okay. more than what I thought. So we're going to keep on doing this, man. People seem to like the video and everything. So we're going to keep it rolling. And we appreciate you guys rocking with us, man. And I hope you enjoy the content. Hope you enjoy our perspectives. Like I said, we're not the end all and be all for any of this. Just two middle-aged black dudes trying to hold it in a row. You know, giving our perspective on things that that are important to us in our community, and if they're not important to you, they should be. So, again, do your own research on the things that we talk about. You know, anything that we say is not law. You know, get engaged, be immersed, have a cause. You know, hopefully, it's weighing heavy on your heart to get out there and be as black as you fucking possibly can. You need, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Don't turn that shit down. Don't turn your blackness down, man.
Right, man.
So that's what it
is. Yeah, man. Be good. Be safe. And behave, brother.
All right, then, brother. We'll holler at you later, man.
Yeah. Right,
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.